Well, last week we started our three-week adventure in the book and the life and the ministry of Ezekiel. Has anybody started reading Ezekiel? Oh, I see a brave hand. Good job. It's not too late. You can start it. It's not too daunting. It is pretty strange, though. We talked a little bit about that last week. Ezekiel was called to be a priest and a prophet for the exiles in Babylon. A prophet is someone who God calls and uses to be God's mouthpiece. Someone God uses to speak a word to God's people, usually a word of warning or judgment. So, you know, they're not really the most popular kid in town. But God had two main issues with the exiles. One, they had turned their backs on God. And they looked to other gods for their provisions. They worshiped other idols, putting their trust and dependence in other things. And yet they felt abandoned by God, even though the reality was that God went into exile with them and tried to get their attention, tried to have them turn back to him. And the other issue is related to that. They had lost their commitment to the Sabbath. They were commanded to rest, and what this shows is that you're trusting God to provide for you. Participating in the Sabbath shows that you know that your needs only are met in God, and you cannot rely on your own strength. And so they were dependent on their own strength and did not observe the Sabbath. Meanwhile, at the same time, the prophet Jeremiah was in Israel speaking to those who were still in Israel, and his prophesying is more poetic. If you read Jeremiah, they're more words of comfort and encouragement. He uses words to prophesy. And Ezekiel, as we've seen in previous chapters, his prophesying is more with physical displays. He sleeps on his side for over a year in the middle of the town square so everyone can see him. His mouth is sealed so that the people know that when he speaks, it is only from God, it's not from him. And probably the most well-known of these physical displays happens in the Valley of the Dry Bones. Dun, dun, dun. My first ministry internship with students was in Orange County, California, Newport Beach, the OC. I thought it was so fancy. I was living right next to the beach, fun in the sun. It was awesome. And a lot of families in the church were really wealthy. They were heads of national and international companies, had more money than I could have ever imagined. And their kids wanted for nothing. And it was around this time that the first iPhone came out. Most of the students already had really fancy phones. I was rocking my first flip phone. So when the iPhone came out, some of the kids automatically got them because their family got iPhones for everyone in the family. So they, right when it came out, middle schoolers had them. But then there were some kids that were told, you know, you'll get an iPhone, but we're gonna wait till your birthday, or if your phone stops working. Well, say that to a middle schooler and the next youth group, cue all these middle schoolers trying to break their phones in order to get a new iPhone. It was ridiculous. And I was a little disgusted. But we're guilty of that too, right? Wanting what we don't have, not treasuring or taking care of what we do have. We live in a very consumerist culture. Everything is meant to be consumed. And obviously this particular group of teens lived in a very particular place and time and that's over and above what I think we consume here. But still, we all live to a certain extent in a disposable way. But not too long ago, there, and even a shorter amount of time ago in Fort Scott, there used to be a repair store on every corner for every specific need you had, a shoe repair, a belt repair, electronics repair, sewing machine repair shop, vacuums, you name it, there was a shop and a repair person for that specific thing. Now, if something breaks, we generally just go out and buy a new one, whatever it is. And things are even manufactured to fall apart after a certain amount of time and not last a long time. Things are just meant to be thrown away. And sometimes we have a tendency to view people in that way, a very disposable way. So now we come to this image of a valley full of dry bones, dry and brittle bones. And they're not just bodies, like from a recent battle. They're not just bodies that, you know, well, maybe they're dead, but maybe they're not. We don't really know. No, we know they are dead. There's no flesh. They're bones, dry and brittle. And some images we have of this are skeletons, where the body's still intact. No, these are bones broken apart and separated and scattered throughout this whole valley. These bodies have no life. And in Hebrew, that word is ruah. And it means they have no life, no spirit. And the same word is used in Genesis when we talk about the creation of all things, that God spoke into all things into creation. And this ruah, the power, this wind, life, and energy flowed in and created all things. So these are just bones, no power, no energy, no life, no breath. Bones that have been sitting out for a while that are dry and brittle. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answers, you know. Which I think is funny. Like, how are you going to answer that question? God's asking you. Obviously, no, these bones can't live. But I think this question of can these bones live is a question that we ask ourselves, at least I often do. And we can rephrase it that in the midst of all this death and decay, can there be life? Can there be restoration? Is there any hope left at all? And maybe you've asked those questions, and maybe you're even asking them right now. As we look around our world and all the chaos and violence, confusion and turmoil, can these bones live? It's hard to see and feel and have hope. And it's not just in looking way out there that we feel hopeless. We can look in our own community. We can drive around Fort Scott and see houses crumbling, buildings vacant, and we ask, can these bones live? We look at our family, and within ourselves, we see pain, addiction, loss, grief, and we ask, can these bones live? God asks Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, says, come to life, and life comes in. Like in Genesis in the creation story, God speaks all things into existence, and calls Ezekiel to speak and bring life to these bones. And not just dance around skeleton bones, like in a restaurant my family used to go to in Florida called Mr. Bones, skeletons all over the walls, or what I imagined as a little kid when I read this story, the bones coming together and dancing around like the song Dem Bones. If you want a sampling of that song, ask Bob later. He has a song and dance routine for it. The bones came together. Muscle formed, flesh grew, the bodies were reformed. The bones had power and life and could fight again. God is showing Ezekiel and the exiles that there is still life left, that all hope is not abandoned. Even in the midst of Jerusalem falling, the temple falling, feeling like they'll never be able to come together again, feeling like the exiles are permanently separated from the promised land, God is faithful. And sometimes we feel like we're walking in a land of desolation among the lifeless or faithless people. And sometimes we are the lifeless and the faithless people. We feel deflated, defeated, dried up, and our brittle bones cannot go much further. We don't know how we'll get there, but we know the end of the story. We see God's faithfulness with Israel, and we see God's faithfulness with us through Christ. God promises that even though his people have been scattered and they brought judgment on themselves, there is still hope. And we're called to be restorers. As disposable as this world feels, we are called to partner with God to bring about restoration. And not just picking up dry bones and putting them together again, but to bring life, to bring power, bring energy, with the Spirit of God working within each of us. We're called to point towards hope, to bear witness to the world, to Fort Scott, to our family and friends, and to ourselves that there is hope. God has done extraordinary things in us, and to give us new life. God gathered the scattered bones in the valley. God gathered the scattered exiles. And God gathers us together in the name of Jesus. Can these bones live? Yes. With a breath of life from God, Spirit alone. Amen.